Welcome to the Beckham Down Podcast. This is your host, Coach Johnson. In this episode, we're going to be breaking down Game 2 of the Celtics Heat series in the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm going to break this game down quarter by quarter. So starting in the first quarter, some of the things I saw that worked for Boston, that worked for Miami, what they were trying to do to take away each other's strengths. One of the first initial things I saw in the game was that the Duncan Robinson, Bam Adebayo handoff game was working really well for the Heat, as Duncan Robinson was able to get off to a hot start with 12 points and 4 threes in that first quarter. Boston gave Miami a little of their own medicine as Jimmy Butler took a glance at the ball, lost sight of his man, and Marcus Smart was able to cut back door on him. And Jason Tatum was able to hit Marcus Smart on that backdoor cut for an easy basket. Something we hadn't seen, you know, in the previous series that much or in game one, was that Brad Stevens went to Enes Kanter early in the game to play against Bam Adebayo. And this is the more likely matchup for Kanter in the series because he would have a tough time against Kelly Olynyk because of the pick and pop game. This leaves for Daniel Tice to be in there against the minutes of Kelly Olynyk and adding Robert Williams into that fold will be where a majority of his minutes come against Bam Adebayo compared to Kelly Olynyk, just because Robert Williams is just as bad against the pick and pop as Kanter. So you'll see mostly those two play against Adebayo, and when Olynyk comes into the game, Stevens will immediately go back to Daniel Tice. Very few touches for Jaylen Brown so far in the first quarter of this game, and there were 6 turnovers for Boston already. I think Miami's ball pressure was very good in this first quarter, but the Celtics led 31-28 after one, and Miami only shot 34.6% from the field. Turnovers were the biggest problem for the Celtics in the first quarter, with the 6 that I previously mentioned leading to 7 fast break points for Miami. When Boston isn't turning the ball over, they're making their shots and able to set their defense. Now into the second quarter. Early in this quarter, the Celtics were making some weird defensive decisions. One possession in particular, Jason Tatum decided to leave Tyler Hero to help on Iguodala, which was just a bad decision, mostly because Miami always has someone in the weak side corner whenever there is a baseline drive. I think Stevens likes to go to the bench units where Tatum has to be the guy on offense because it forces him to be involved on every play. With this passing improvements, the Celtics can run everything through him in these moments. Boston started to play for the switch on their rolls. The screen is just to try and keep Miami's defender on the top side of the ball screen so they can't get under to switch that ball screen. This is where it's tough to ride with Kanter when Jimmy Butler and Goran Dragic are in the game because they will go right after him when they can in ball screen situations. Boston has done a good job of keeping their hands high in this game, and it's closing down a lot of Miami's passing lanes, especially the ones where they tried to hit their back cuts. But the Celtics are able to extend their lead in this quarter as they go into the half up 60-47. You know, it's great for them to be able to extend their lead, but this is also a sign of times to come with how they ended this quarter, because there was a lot of sloppy play, too close to half for Boston, and a handful of empty possessions late in the second quarter. I will be back shortly to wrap up the show after a quick word from our sponsor, Anchor. Now that we're back from the break, let's talk about the third quarter. Early in this quarter, a lot of the offensive sets were being ran through Marcus Smart and Daniel Tice. And you just thought to yourself, this is time for Marcus Smart to take a backseat offensively. Miami used being in the bonus for a lot of quarter four in game one to aid their comeback. They're in the bonus for the rest of the third quarter in this game after a bunch of early fouls by Boston in the third quarter. And the Heat are able to take the lead. The Celtics' 17-point lead has now evaporated. But Cantor continues to play well in his minutes off the bench and was doing a decent job on the ball handler in pick-and-roll situations. Boston's weak side defense was not there in this quarter, though. Miami's zone was doing a great job of matching up and taking away Boston's flow offensively, but also taking away the automatic reads that they can make in early transition in their secondary break. What helps their zone be so efficient is partly due to how well Tyler Hero rebounds. His rebounding is why Miami can get away with running a zone, because Spoelstra puts all of his big, long guys up top and the small guys on the blocks. If Hero and the rest of the guards don't rebound the way that they have been, then it just would not work. Something to watch as the series progresses, and this is something I kept an eye on through the rest of the game, is Miami's adjustment in the pick and roll. Boston was trying to keep Miami's ball handlers forced one way, something similar to what the Spurs do in their ball screen defense, and force them into the big. Miami's bigs were slipping out early, either to pop like Olynyk or roll like Bam Adebayo, with Duncan Robinson in the corner to take away any type of weak side help. But with this big quarter, the Heat take the lead 84-77. The Heat scored 37 points in the third quarter to burn the Celtics' 13-point lead away that they had at half, and a lot of their damage was done off of dribble handoffs and pick and rolls, taking advantage of how Boston was defending them. And now the fourth quarter. Great effort by Miami all over the place in the second half so far. They've taken complete control of the game, and Miami is now up to 10 offensive rebounds. I believe that they've had 7 of those 10 in the second half. The Celtics really just lost their momentum on offense and went on a scoring drought of nearly 7 minutes of game time. You know, free throws are how Miami took game one, and they got to the bonus early in the fourth quarter and took advantage of that throughout the fourth quarter in game one. And the Celtics were able to work themselves in a similar position in this game. Boston's small ball lineup advantage is going to allow them to have the ability to switch and keep everything in front and get Miami stagnant on offense. Something I would expect for Brad Stevens to use more throughout the rest of the series. They're able to limit that dribble penetration and limit the driving kick that the Miami Heat thrive off on the offensive side of the floor. The Heat went back to their zone, but Boston was doing a lot better job of attacking it with Marcus Smart stationed at the foul line, using him as a playmaker to score, but also set up his teammates. Another thing that I thought worked well for Boston is how aggressive Jaylen Brown was, attacking the zone with a lot of regularity in the fourth quarter. One thing that the Celtics didn't do against the Miami zone was push out in transition and not allow them to set up. And Brad Stevens was trying to get his guys to understand this and push the ball up the floor on every play so Miami could not set their defense. But the Celtics were walking the ball up. You know, I would counter that a little bit with Miami forcing Boston to be uncomfortable and out of rhythm more than purely forcing turnovers and forcing mistakes. But you can say it falls in between those two statements. The one thing about Miami in this fourth quarter of game two is that they were getting into their actions too late and left a window open for Boston to make a comeback. They were starting a lot of their actions at the 14-second mark in the shot clock. And the thing for Miami is that they need multiple actions, the ball movement and player movement, to keep pressure on Boston's defense. But they kind of got a little carefree late in this game, and that's what allowed it to be such a close game down the stretch. But you had a great shot by Goran Dragic over Daniel Tice, and Jimmy Butler was making every big play down the stretch, leading the Heat to a 106-101 victory, and they now lead the series 2-0. And that wraps it up for this episode of the Back 'Em Down podcast. I hope everyone enjoyed the show. It's now officially the weekend. We have game one of the Los Angeles Lakers versus the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals tonight. So it'll be exciting to see that series kick off. But I hope everyone has a great weekend and you come back for the next episode of the Back 'Em Down podcast.